This is BetCenter on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in. It's hour number three, VSiN BetCenter on a Saturday night, live from our downtown Las Vegas Circus Sportsbook studios, along with the maniacally laughing Jeff Parles. Oh, I'm Ben Wilson. There's been a lot on the college football slate that is just, quite frankly, hard to believe that we've actually seen so far. We are going to get into our NFL previews for the final 2 hours of the show. We will keep you posted, though, on some of the marquee games going down to the wire, which include Bo Nix on fourth and goal, the Auburn quarterback, attempting a goal line fade from the one-yard line, where it looked like he was aiming for Heinz Field. Penn State has the ball right now, up 8, 28-20, 4 minutes to go. And we'll see if they can hang on as a 4 or 4.5 point favorite.
Yeah, one of them. Bo Nix's throw was closer to landing in Mechanicsburg than actually landing in the stadium.
Very good.
I mean, it's just a horrible throw.
Mechanicsburg.
Penn State, by the way, just was throwing from their own end zone. First down play. They barely got out on a run. Clifford throwing to Dodson and a pass interference that I'm not certain it was actually pass interference. Another poor call by this officiating crew. At least allows Penn State to get out and breathe now. They have a second down and 9 from their own 17-yard line. Auburn only has one timeout left. So.
And they're now down to about 2:10 on the clock.
So Penn State, one first down for the Nittany Lions, and under tickets are going to be good, and Penn State minus whatever number you got are going to be good. By the way, final in Carson, San Diego State beats Utah 33-31. The dueling two-point conversions for the first time at the FBS level. San Diego State won on the had scored on a Philly special-esque play. Utah originally called the score on the field, overturned on replay, and that game is final, and the Aztecs win as an 8.5-point underdog
What's
outright.
An adventure if you run Aztecs plus 270 money line. Tough beat for the total. This was 24-10 with about 5 minutes to go in the game. Total of 42.5 or 43, and this thing ends up going way, way over the total.
Oh,
so we will keep you posted on the other remaining games as well as they come down to the stretch. Some of the games, if you were with us earlier, we were keeping a close eye on. But, Jeff, it is that time. It's week two in the NFL. We're going to get to every game on the board. As we did last week, we'll do it again this week. We'll get into our fade or follow segments, where we take a look at the consensus picks in the Circa Millions contest going on right behind us. Also break down our thoughts on the survivor options this week, depending on who you still have remaining. Only 1 week. Most people have made it this far. There were some upsets, as we all know from last week. But, Jeff, let's start with a game that, speaking of upsets, I don't want to make you feel too badly here right well, off the gate. But
contest play of Atlanta against Philadelphia. One of my two VSiN survivor picks. Exclusive VSiN Survivor Pool.
The exclusive VSiN Survivor Pool, where Jeff Parles got cute.
He survived at least in the other one.
Tampa cash Thursday, so we put in Atlanta for a second Survivor pick. That one is gone. Rob Moreno, one of our standing technical directors, by the way, the other who had Atlanta in Survivor. So speaking of those upsets, you get that team in Philadelphia who won in pretty dominant fashion, 32-6, under Nick Sirianni, first-year coach in his first game. They're coming home, and they get the San Francisco 49ers, who stayed out east this week, just like they did in 2020 and 2019 at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. 49ers with, while the travel not an issue this week, Jeff, a big boatload of injury concerns as well after Raheem Mostert went down early in that game, out for the season for San Francisco, and banged up in a number of other spots. Dre Greenlaw will not play with a groin injury. Emmanuel Mosley not likely to play, one of the starting quarterbacks with a knee injury. And they have a number of other players on the defensive side of the ball. Javon Kinlaw, top defensive tackle. Eric Armstead, a solid defensive lineman. They're both questionable, have been limited in practice all week. Marcel Harris, another linebacker. You can add him to that list as well. With that being said, Jeff, where does this rank in the overreaction theatrics that we saw from week one to week two? As we've seen Philadelphia get bet heavily, and it has now come down to San Francisco only laying 3, pretty much market-wide across the board.
Yeah, there's just some 2.5 on the East Coast. Also, on Thursday and Friday, which there's 3 even. There's 3-105 right now. I don't get it. This is an overreaction based off what we saw from the Eagles. Not forget what happened at the end with the 49ers. That was nonsense, what happened at the end of that game. The fact that Detroit actually had a shot to tie that game late. Total nonsense. San Francisco stopped playing. What are you going to do? That's why that happened. You really want to tell me that Philadelphia beating up on Atlanta, who may just be absolutely terrible, dictates this line is 2.5, 3 points difference than what the look ahead was? I don't see it. San Francisco is a much better team than Philadelphia still. And you're dealing with, again, very impressed with Philly's coaching staff week one. Sirianni did a great job, called a great game, and that defense played significantly better than I would have thought. Job well done by Philly's coaching staff. You're going up against a tested, excellent coaching staff with San Francisco. You're going up against a very good defense that completely fell asleep at the end. They gave up 10 points, realistically, in that game against Detroit. That was it.
41-10 at the two-minute warning.
Yeah.
And they don't cover as an 9.5-point closing favorite.
So, look, for me, Ben, I'm not looking at what happened at the end of the game. San Francisco beat the heck out of a bad team last week. And I expect them to beat up on a team that may be better than I thought. It may be better than I thought, mostly because that NFC East is a train wreck and Philadelphia might have a shot because Washington looks a lot worse than I thought they would going into the year. And the Giants are horrible and Dallas has a horrible defense. But this is an overreaction. I know it may be a square play laying 3 on the road with a team that is seen as a better team. But look, market is going against what I think. It's probably going to be 2.5 by the time this game kicks, and I don't get it. I think San Francisco rolls here. Late a 3, late a 2.5 when it gets there. Even if this was 4, I still think San Francisco would be the right side here.
The total's
too high also.
49.5 market-wide.
Total's too high, too. This is overreaction on what we saw in week one where, again, San Francisco scored 41 points. 14 of those were off of nonsense, thanks to the Lions. And the Eagles, again, look, the Eagles only allowed 6. So if you think the Eagles' defense is legitimately good, why is this total 5 points more than it probably should be?
Yeah, I'm with you on the side here, Jeff. And what I think of this Eagles offense, and as we talked about last week, I was much higher on Philadelphia coming into the season than you were. I was still not going out on a limb thinking they would win the game. But you look at an Atlanta defense who has been, for the last, you go back 3-4 seasons, and it is still the same right now. Any metric you want to look at, whether it's the early down success rate, the DVOA metrics, it's been a bottom five defense. And it's not like for new head coach Arthur Smith, Atlanta got many reinforcements at all on the defensive side of the ball. I get the sense, Jeff, that this is a Philadelphia offense that has the potential to look really, really good against poor defenses because they have amazing weapons. You think about the connection, wide receiver Devontae Smith and quarterback Jalen Hurts going back to their time at Alabama. They have the ability to put up some big plays and big numbers in certain spots, but this is your classic step up in class to me, Jeff, and an elite 49ers defense that, as we saw, you said there was some nonsense. I mean, you're forcing a pick six on Jared Goff by just bringing pressure after pressure after pressure. And you think about Bosa on the front line. He made life. It was a miserable day for the Detroit offense.
It's not
line.
A fun day for the Detroit offense.
So as you see some of the props here, I'm not really in love with the Hurts passing yard prop in a matchup like this. Even though he's at home, because of the rushing factor he brings you, Jalen Hurts, and has been effective in that regard as well. But that's my thought on this, Jeff. I think Philadelphia's offensively will be exposed pretty drastically when they get matchups like this. The only thing that worries me, it's why I did not play this, did not put this in the contest, is how banged up San Francisco is defensively. I know they stayed on the East Coast, but when you've got almost half of your defensive starters at least limited, if not already ruled out, Jeff, that does give me a little bit of pause, but I still think that they are able to control this game from a line of scrimmage perspective.
Yeah, look, even with the injuries, they're still a better front than Philadelphia is, especially defensively. So, this is one of those, if the Eagles beat me, I'll tip my cap,
move
to the next one. And by the way, also, San Francisco can be a very hard team to figure out prop-wise. They just are. And also, too, Lance throwing a touchdown pass last week kind of throws a wrench into even going with Garoppolo props. So this is not a good prop game, unless if you want to go a Jalen Hurts rushing total over, it would be the only thing I'd even look at here.
Okay.
But San Francisco is a really difficult team to figure out prop-wise, Ben.
Speaking of teams that can be difficult to figure out prop-wise, the Cleveland Browns, based on their two-headed rushing attack, they come off of a game where they blow a late lead, do cover, despite giving bettors, like myself, a scare at the very end. Browns return home. This is a game that has been, we'll talk about this later as well, from a survivor standpoint, this is one of your popular survivor plays of the week. Cleveland hosting the Houston Texans. This was 12 and a half early in the week. It's now been bet up all the way to 13 or 13 and a half. clearly, Jeff, the betting public not buying at all what they saw out of head coach David Culley and the Houston Texans in week one, where with backup quarterback Tyrod Taylor in there, they demolish the Jacksonville Jaguars. But coming on the road to the dog pound with fans back and a legitimately good Cleveland team that should have won that game, if we're being fair, in Kansas City, you have a 9-point lead with 6 minutes left and you lose. Are you going to be the brave soul to grab the 13.5? Might get to 14 by this thing gets to game time.
So at 14, that's where this gets interesting. You can't bet Cleveland now at 13.5 because you missed the number. You can't bet it. But if this gets to 14, this gets interesting on Houston. Because once you get to that full 2-touchdown ledger, I think it gets gobbled up by sharps and it goes right back to 13.5.
How much of that move, too, do you think was based on the fact that we've seen so many teaser numbers were great in week one, and a lot of people have been in a position to tease Cleveland down below 7 when it was still available at 12.5.
I think that's a lot of the reason we've seen a lot of moves here. I think that's why when we get to Cincinnati and Chicago later, why Cincinnati might end up being a pick or even a favorite in that game. Like we're starting to see books move more. And again, I think this has to do with the parity in this league, Ben, where teaser numbers are going to start being, the regular numbers are going to really start being moved as teaser protection more than any.
Would not surprise me if the Texans kept this within the number, Jeff. I don't expect just an immediate fall off to what we perceived preseason. However, I'm not going to be that brave soul that takes the Texans. I would lay it with Cleveland if you made me, but no play for me. On the other side, we'll break down that team Houston beat in week one. Interesting spot for Denver on the road in Jacksonville. We'll discuss that next. Update you on what's going on as well in Happy Valley right after this here on VSiN Bet Center.
This is Bet Center on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Indeed helps you hire great people fast. Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Visit Indeed.com/credit. We're back on VSiN Bet Center, where it has gone final. What a crazy game. Penn State hosting Auburn. Jeff Parles, back with you. I'm Ben Wilson. 28-20, your final. Penn State holds off a late surge by Auburn. They get a goal line stand, 4th and goal at the 1-yard line. And Jeff, all that money, one of the highest ticket counts we saw of any game today at BetMGM. It was, in fact, the 2nd highest ticket count today on Auburn plus the points. Bet from Auburn plus 7 down to 4 or 4.5. And Penn State, they cover all numbers.
Yes,
Jeff.
They do. Good win for Penn State. I will say this. I think Auburn is still pretty similar to what they've been these last few years. If Bo Nix was a little bit better, they'd really have a shot to play with Alabama and the big guys in the SEC. But Bo Nix is still pretty average. And in the end, Bo Nix being Bo Nix was the difference here. So good win for Penn State. And now I'm very curious to see what Penn State is in the futures market to win the Big Ten. Because remember, this is not a conference game, so mm-hmm. It shouldn't shift the odds too much regardless. But you know that people will bet them today after seeing this. And what they are in the national championship futures. Because again, the way that Penn State's schedule breaks down, Ben, if they win the Big Ten East, even at 11-1, and flip around and win in Indianapolis, they're going to make the playoff. Because that schedule is so difficult, as we pointed out, it could be their 4 toughest opponents end up being all away from Beaver Stadium. And if you survive at 11-1 and a Big Ten champion on the boot, to me, after watching Penn State for 3 weeks now, I think they're the 4th best team in the country.
And Sean Clifford, you mentioned it. That was
the
big question.
He was good tonight.
The quarterback for Penn State, 28 of 32 for 280 yards, a couple touchdowns and a pick. The number is not so kind to Bo Nix. 21 of 37, the Auburn quarterback, 185 yards, 5 yards per attempt. Not exactly what you're looking for. Is there you see the Penn State, how brutal that gets down the stretch starting October 9th. At Iowa. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, one last point, and then we'll get back to the NFL, Ben. They'll be 5-0 because Indiana's not any good. Villanova's a good FCS, but Villanova's not going to Beaver Stadium and winning that game next week, obviously. But look, the remaining 7 games, other than the Illinois game, and I'll throw the Rutgers game in there as well because it's at Beaver Stadium, the other 5 games are not easy. Even at Maryland's, no joke. The Terps are pretty good, so look, if Penn State gets through that gauntlet at 11-1, they have a shot to make the playoff, Ben. And 11-1 probably is winning the Big Ten East as well.
Oh, keep your eyes peeled for what those new futures will be. Likely released, Jeff, overnight tonight into tomorrow morning. Once all these games are finalized, it will be very interesting to see on that. One of the big storylines and one of the big guys from last year's college football season, now a rookie, trying to lead his team back from the depths after one of the worst performances we saw of anybody last week, Jeff. Trevor Lawrence, the former Clemson quarterback, now leading the way for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and former college coach Urban Meyer. It could not have been much worse for Urban Meyer and the Jags as a favorite on the road in Houston last week. They get blitzed out of the building, 37-21 the loss. They turn around, they trot, stumble back home where they take on a Denver Bronco team that whacks the Giants on the road. Broncos, interestingly enough, they did not stay on the East Coast. They went back to Denver, traveled back out to Jacksonville. And this thing, similar to what we just talked about in our last segment with the movements that we have seen on, we talked about Houston-Cleveland bet up a couple points, Philadelphia as a dog bet down a couple points. Well, this was even more than a couple, Jeff. This was on the look-ahead Denver in that 1.5 or 2 range on the road. 3, 3.5 probably felt like, at least to me, a fair number here, just given what we saw out of Denver week one. And Jacksonville on the other side, but 6 is that really a fair market price right now, Jeff? This thing has gotten steamed to the Denver side. It does seem like from an injury perspective, Denver, the big injury, it'll be short-term IR for Jerry Jeudy, likely to miss 4 to 6 weeks after that gruesome ankle injury he suffered in that loss against the Giants. They think Bradley Chubb is listed as questionable, the linebacker. He is expected to get some snaps. Graham Glasgow, though, one of the starting O-linemen, he is doubtful for Denver in this spot. Jacksonville on the other side, still the one injury loss. Trey Herndon out, one of the corners for the Jags coming in, although he was not slated to be a starter anyway. The question, Jeff, again, on the scope of the overreaction here, we know Jacksonville looked, if you watch that game, they looked as bad as it can get. They're catching 6 at home, though. And you know, like as a bettor, you should know where these lines start and where they finish. When you look there and you see a Denver team going from 1.5 to 6 on the road, are you giving pause at all to laying that many?
Too big of a move. Too big of a move.
I think I agree with
you. I think there'll be some shops here in Vegas where this closes 7. We're already seeing some 6.5 pop here in town.
Feels like a stay away just on the surface for me.
I'll tell you, it was used in one of my contests. Jacksonville getting the 6. Used in one of them. So, look, I think this is too much. And Denver, look, Denver might legitimately be good. That is a possibility here. And look, we're going to find out, because if they go to Jacksonville, wax Jacksonville, and then flip around and beat up on the Jets in their home opener and are 3-0, they will have handled their business against bad teams. And then we'll really find out once their schedule really starts in week 4 when the Ravens go to Mile High, even though the Ravens might not be that good to begin with either.
Fair,
but look,
as well.
Look, I think this is a little bit of an overreaction, and I really am curious of how Denver looked. Is it that they're actually good, or is it that the Giants are really bad?
And this is the rare case where you're trying to evaluate, Jeff, overreaction, and we have already seen one of those teams play in week 2, and the Giants looked
horrible.
Miserable.
Even though they should have won the game.
A miserable first 2 weeks for the New York Giants. So you and I were both on the contest last week and immediately regretting that decision. The thing on the Denver side as well, so Teddy Bridgewater, very solid. And it has been well documented, solid game manager. You see the passing prop for him there, 28 of 36, 264 yards last week and 2 touchdowns. Outside, though, Jeff, of that garbage time Melvin Gordon 70-yard touchdown run, the Broncos in this game in week 1, 3.5 yards per carry for the team on 27 attempts. There really wasn't much that they did on the ground. It was a very methodical, slow-moving pace. They just relied on the Giants imploding and shooting themselves in the foot. We saw the Daniel Jones fumble in the red zone, the Giants quarterback. And look, to me, Jeff, I think Denver goes in and wins the game. But if you made me pick a side, I think I would take Jacksonville in the spot. For as bad as the Jaguars looked, and we know that like Urban, this had to have driven Urban Meyer absolutely bananas. And I don't think this is going to work out long term.
If he wants to be there still, yeah.
But if there's ever a time for Jacksonville to show up, even with the lack of personnel there, You have to think it's been an interesting week in the meeting rooms for Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence. That duo.
Look, it would make sense. It's your home opener. You know you're going to have a full crowd there. It's the first game for Trevor Lawrence at home. Like, the spot makes sense for Jacksonville to show and play well. But, look, they just might be really bad also. So that's the problem here. Like, the Jaguars, the Giants, the Texans, even though they won. Mm-hmm. The Jets, there are a bunch of teams that just may be really bad. Even though, again, of those teams that I just mentioned, the Jets were the of the losers of that bunch, were the most competitive of the three, losing by only five to Carolina, while the other two were both losers by double digits. Of course, Houston, I know, won, but that might be win one of three this year for the Houston Texans.
Certainly could be. And there is one shop, far away places, as we like to refer to it, not East Coast, but offshore, that has already gone to seven.
Yeah.
And there's 1.5 in the market on Denver. So I know the first three games we've talked about, plays that I have no interest in making. We'll get to one that I do have a strong feeling towards, Jeff, and this is one that, again, a bit of a zag when the rest of the market is zigging here, so to speak. But the Rams go to Indianapolis, and a Rams team that, to me, Jeff, and as we touched on the show last week, I was going to have a pretty light wallet had the Rams lost that game, having tied in about eight
every
different teasers.
Teaser you had
and those teasers went 6-1-1, so it was a very solid week one. But the Rams, I was really not impressed. To me, they looked a step slow at times. Here's some fun with numbers, Jeff. Who do you think of all the 32 teams had the best early down success rate in week one offensively? If you're talking about the first three quarters, if we take out garbage time. So success rates and overall offensive efficiency on the first two downs, which are, you know, in the analytic world, the most important downs because you want to avoid third downs.
I think the proper guess would be the Rams, but the way you're
Chicago Bears.
There you go.
They were the most efficient first and second down team in the league on early downs last week.
I'm happy you brought that up because one of the things that happened last week that could play very easily in Indianapolis' favor here is that Chicago's run game was really good last week. And that is a team that I don't think anyone expected to have an elite run game. And they were one of the better running teams last week. And Indianapolis is healthy on the offensive line. Eric Fisher, good play. Quinn Nelson's ready to go. And you know what Frank Reich does. He wants to pound the rock. So look, I think the Rams, this will get to four. And I think the Rams are going to be a heavy public side here. They just missed the consensus in the Circa Millions. They were the sixth pick, but had over 1,000 selections in there. Don't be surprised if Indianapolis not only covers this game, but wins this game outright.
I love this spot. One of the two plays I really like this week. Indianapolis is a contest play for me. I'm waiting for this to get to four. Have not bet it. Big teaser candidate for me as well, Jeff.
Waiting to
get this four, tease it up to 10. That's the strategy. And I'm glad you brought up the consensus, Jeff, because it's time for two of my favorite segments. Fade or follow the consensus. We will break down the top five most picked games in Circa Millions on the other side as we continue our week two NFL previews right after this here on VSiN Bet Center. Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. We're back on VSiN Bet Center. Hour and a half left of the show as we break down every game on the card for NFL Week 2. Back with Jeff Parles. I'm Ben Wilson. It's time, Jeff, our favorite segment, Fade or Follow, as we take a look at the consensus lines in the Circa Millions contest. We are here, by the way, after all, Circa, a sports book in downtown Las Vegas, and the five most selected games by the contestants, which, if you're not familiar, the Circa Millions, $1,000 entry. So these, look, there are some implications here, Jeff, as you are a split ticket entry with our friend Wes Reynolds into this contest. So there's a lot that goes into these selections. And here you see the top selections made in the number one selection this week. And you'll notice a couple of these are certainly driven by the fact that you are getting the benefit of a hook. But the Carolina Panthers, +3.5 at home against the New Orleans Saints, your most popular pick of the week, Jeff. So with this line being basically a flat three market wide, we know the Saints, and if you haven't heard, the Saints already were going to be without six assistant coaches due to COVID and contact tracing. An additional two assistants have already been ruled out for the game. So eight assistant coaches will not be with the Saints tomorrow in Carolina. Jeff, are we fading or following the most popular play in the contest, Carolina? Now, it's obviously a lot different since it's 3.5 in the contest, and in real life, it's 3 right now.
Well, it's 3.5 behind us right now.
So that's
available. Mind. You do have to lay 15, minus 15, but it's still available behind us.
Okay.
Wes and I have this in our five.
You
boys.
Do?
Yes. So we.
How much of the COVID coaches does that matter
to you? So I don't think it matters that much. This is just the common denominator for a lot of week two plays for us were an overreaction on the line from what we saw from teams in week one. This was a pick look in the look ahead. I know New Orleans beat up Green Bay in epic fashion. Carolina won and covered the late numbers against the Jets. Didn't really look invested in the second half. Played very well early. That defensive line was great, but I think that was more product. The thinking could be that was more a product of the Jets' offensive line being terrible than Carolina's defensive line being legitimate. But for me, this is, look, I thought this line should have been two. I thought it should have been two, maybe even 1.5 on New Orleans. So giving me 3 in the hook, a pretty enticing play. And I think Carolina's solid. I think their defense is much better than we anticipated or going into the season. Now the one question mark is, what is Sam Darnold? He looked very good for a half. In the second half, he didn't look good at all. And his numbers got inflated because Christian McCaffrey is unbelievably good, Ben. So I'm curious to see if the Saints are able to make Darnold flustered and turn him over like he looked like when he was with the Jets. If they aren't, Carolina has no business not staying in this game. So we like the 3.5, and I think Carolina is more than capable of losing this game by 3.
And as these betting splits we saw a moment ago would indicate.
I kind of like our position more now after seeing those spreads.
A lot of public action on New Orleans, and you see this often. Public likes what they saw 1 week. You move to the next week, and you're going to back that team. 62% of the handle on the Saints, nearly 80% of the bets, these courtesy of DraftKings. And yet we're seeing this line moving down, at least most shops now, from Saints -3.5 to -3 on the road. There will be a couple injury concerns as well. Starting center, Eric McCoy, out. Calf issue, Marcus Davenport, defensive end, out. Shoulder issue for the Saints. This is, of all the games, Jeff, if you made me look at one game I want absolutely zero part of.
Oh, you're saying this one,
this
really?
This is the game.
Really?
I was really unimpressed with Carolina last week.
Okay, look.
And to me, the point you make on the offense looking good in the second half, When your offense basically keeps the opposing defense on the field the entire game, at a certain point, there was just nothing that the Jets defense could do in that spot because their offense gave them nothing. Zach Wilson had no chance behind a terrible offensive line. At a certain point, you are going to get production when you were on the field basically the entire game.
I
thought Darnold was really shaky in the first half.
Look, I really do think that if you flopped the quarterbacks in that Jet-Panther game, the Panthers would have been up 35-0 at halftime.
It was nothing-nothing deep into the second quarter.
And it was nothing-nothing until about 5 minutes into the second quarter. Look, I think Carolina's defense might actually be really good. That's the big thing here. They have some players up front. Shaq Thompson was one of the best defensive players in the league last week with how well he played. So, look, this is also, too, I expect the regression from New Orleans' offense, too. And again, keep in mind, Jameis threw 5 touchdowns, but he didn't even get 150 yards. It was a very odd box score from what New Orleans had. That box score didn't show, defensively, yes, but offensively it didn't show them scoring as many points as they did. So it was an odd box score as well for the Saints. And look, if New Orleans goes and wins by 10, then guess what? Maybe New Orleans is every bit as good as they were a year ago when they were the 2 seed and were 1 Jared Cook fumble away from being in control of that game up 2 scores and going to Green Bay instead of Tampa last year.
I am fading this top consensus pick. If you made me, and I'm not going to play this game in any sense, if you made me pick it, though, I would lay it with New Orleans, especially now that it is down to a 3. And I'll say this, too. For all of the issues New Orleans has had to deal with the hurricane, the relocation, and it does sound like, by the way, they will be coming back home for week 4. I don't know if there's a coach other than Sean Payton who I would want to lead a team like that through all of those issues. And look, from the chip on the shoulder angle standpoint, we kind of laugh that off sometimes as betters, but I think that is real in a spot like this. I don't see a fall off eventually happening for the Saints because I think they clearly played over their weight last week, but I don't expect just a drastic fall off of that this week. And for as much of a no-show as that was out of Green Bay, I still think the Saints are able to move the ball, control possession. And I think with Darnold, you're going to ask him to make some big throws, likely under pressure, under a lot more pressure than he was under last week. And I just don't trust him in that spot. So give me New Orleans. I will fade the consensus on pick number 1. However, Jeff, I will not be fading pick number two.
Pick number one, by the way, last week, Washington against
Chargers. I had number one.
And they did not cover. So next.
Thank you for keeping us abreast of the up-to-date season standings. Number two. You see the week two selection count, circa million three. Pittsburgh Steelers laying six at home against the Las Vegas Raiders off after one of the most bonkers Monday night games we have ever seen. Short week for the Raiders. No Josh Jacobs, already ruled out. We saw the Raiders play without Richie Incognito, presumable starting left guard in week one. He is still out. He will not play week two. No backup quarterback Marcus Mariota. No Nick Kwiatkowski, the linebacker. He's out with a concussion. Carl Nassib and Yannick Ngakoue, two staples of the Raiders defensive line. They're both questionable for this game. And you have a Raider team where on paper, this is your classic go-against spot, Jeff. The question is, how much trust do you put into a Steelers offense that was bad? And, I mean, it was ugly in a game against Buffalo, where basically a couple of poor Josh Allen throws that are on the target and a blocked punt. If you take out those equations, Bills easily win that game. How much trust do you put in the Steelers offense, given that you're laying six and 6.5 in some spots as well?
Yeah, the Raider injury report is not great. That's the big issue here. Even though I will say I don't think missing Josh Jacobs is a big deal anyway. I think Kenyon Drake is every bit as good as Jacobs at this point. Look, I think the big question is which offensive line fails more in this game, because you have an offensive line in Pittsburgh, which they held up last week well enough against Buffalo, but well documented in the offseason how bad that offensive line looked on paper going into the year. The Raiders' offensive line, this is a different animal in Pittsburgh's defense than what they saw last week in Baltimore. I'm not sure. I mean, Buffalo, who has a really good offensive line, struggled to block Pittsburgh last week. How is Vegas going to hold up against this defensive line? So for me, if you're making me play this, I'm not playing this game. If you made me take it, I would fade the consensus on this one. But I have no confidence either way here. Pittsburgh winning by 10 wouldn't shock me. Vegas keeping it close and Pittsburgh winning a tight game wouldn't surprise me. I think Vegas winning outright would be the surprise result.
I have no issue if you want to tease Pittsburgh down.
Yeah, I have no issue with that.
I think that's fine. And look, the Steeler offense, 3.6 yards per carry from the ground game. Najee Harris had no room to run whatsoever. The offensive line struggled with the new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, taking over for Andy Fichtner in Pittsburgh, trying to get Big Ben some new looks this year. And look, the first you figured it would take time. It's why I liked Buffalo last week. Didn't expect the Buffalo offense to struggle like they did, but Big Ben in the end last week, 18 of 32, 188 yards, 5.9 yards per attempt. If anything, Jeff, I am considering playing this game, but I love the under 47. I'm waiting just because as we are in Nevada, in Las Vegas, you might see some public over money come in late here, Jeff, given that we just saw the Raiders and Ravens put up a boatload of points. If this thing gets up to 48, I think I would fire on the under.
I don't have a problem with that. I wouldn't bet the over here, especially with how last week the Vegas game had no business going over and it went way over.
That might be the thought here. All right, well, we're lukewarm on number two. I'm fading number one. You are backing number one in the consensus. We have three other games to break down. Circa millions consensus lines as we continue our week two previews right after this here on VSiN Bet.
Center on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for money line, over under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter better year round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. As we continue our NFL previews featuring those betting splits for every game to tell you how the numbers are moving so far, as we are back on VSiN Bet Center with Jeff Barles and Ben Wilson continuing. It's a two segments, Jeff. The fade or follow, the consensus lines. We just discussed the top two consensus picks in the Circa Millions contest for week number two. The number one pick, if you're just joining us, the Panthers catching 3.5 at home against the New Orleans Saints. Number two, the Pittsburgh Steelers laying 6 at home against the Las Vegas Raiders. Each of those well over 1,000 picks. Just below that number two selection with 1,187 is the Sunday night game, the Kansas City Chiefs. We just talked, Jeff, about takeaways from that Raiders-Ravens Monday night game. Schedulers did not do the Ravens a very, very good, did not make them make their lives any easier as they have to return home. Home opener on a Sunday night, short week, taking on Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And the entire world, it appears, Jeff, is on Kansas City in the spot laying the 3.5, partly because in the real world, this is now up to a 4-point line just about everywhere. There are a couple 3.5s you can still bet, including at DraftKings on the East Coast, as well as stations here in the Nevada jurisdictions. Jeff, this is a play I did include in my contest plays. No, I don't feel strongly about it. I'm not really wanting to lay 3.5 on the road, but the bigger thing here to me is the injury issues on the Baltimore side. This has just felt like a cursed season from the jump. You go back to that Thursday practice where in the matter of 3 plays, you lose Marcus Peters and Gus Edwards, both ACL tears, both out for the season. And you look at this injury report now where you're not going to have Derek Wolfe, key defensive end. Ronnie Stanley, technically questionable, your left tackle, but the reports are he is not going to play. It would be surprising if he suits up. Hollywood Brown and Devin Duvernay, both questionable, who are key wide receivers for Lamar Jackson. And Marlon Humphrey and Jimmy Smith, your two starting cornerbacks, have both been limited all week, likely to go, but they are firmly in that questionable camp. So with all that being said, the Chiefs come out of that week one come from behind win with a clean injury report. And you have Patrick Mahomes. I know you're laying 3.5 on the road, Jeff, but it is impossible for me to fade at the consensus here. I know everybody's going to have him, but I'd rather just go down with the ship than be that lone objector who gets burned here.
Yeah, we didn't have it in our plays, but this was on the list of considerations.
Look at that handle.
I mean, look, it's just one of those 94%.
Where...
94%. Look, this is just one of those where everyone in the world is on one side, and we know what happens usually when that happens.
I'm not making a bet in real life on this. It's just a contest play
this
for me.
This feels like a money line parlay situation where you throw Kansas City with someone else. Kansas City and San Francisco would probably be one for myself that I would look at. Look, I was at the game on Monday night here in town with Vegas and Baltimore on Monday
Bumble
night.
Brag. There you go.
It wasn't supposed to be that. But that team, the Ravens have a lot of issues. For a team that has been so solid for so long and always well put together, the injuries have really, really made things very difficult for them. Because, by the way, I think Williams is a totally reasonable running back, even though they insisted on using Latavius Murray in that second half.
Oh, what? Revenge game.
The Baltimore offensive line's terrible. And Stanley might not even play in this game with the knee. So, I'm really concerned about the Ravens' ability to block anyone. And I think the Raiders actually have a pretty reasonable pass rush. That the pass rush significantly improved from what it was in the past. But I'm not sure, even though, again, Kansas City's defense is not the greatest unit in the world. We know that. We saw that last week against Cleveland, even though they stepped up when they had to late in that game against the Browns. I'm not sure Baltimore can block anyone at this point. And with the way that team is built, how are you going to beat anyone that's any good when you struggle to block? Oh, and by the way, I don't think their defense is as good as it's been in the last half decade anyway. So this is all signs point to Kansas City. The only thing Baltimore has going for them here is, are the Ravens really going to start 0-2?
Home crowd.
Sunday night. That is a great venue and a great rowdy fan base in Baltimore that doesn't get the credit nationally it deserves.
Us against the world angle, 94% of the handle
right,
on
look,
Kansas City.
That's the only thing that Baltimore has going for it. The one thing I will say, though, Ben, is in the Mahomes-Jackson era, it's been 3 games. Kansas City is 3-0, and Kansas City has been clearly the better team in 2 of those 3 games. The only one that Baltimore had a chance to win and they covered was that first one, which was the Mahomes sideways heave the hill
yes.
That forced overtime, that got it in field goal range to force overtime, but... Look, all signs point to Kansas City. They're much better. And the scary part of what it was from last week was Cleveland played until the last 8 minutes of that game as well as they humanly could have, and Kansas City still found a way to win that game.
Love them to pull that out, Jeff, for our Browns doing the AFC North tickets. That would have gone a long way.
I don't know. We got a better number on Cleveland than we should now because of that.
I have him at 180, still 175s out there, which is a great, I think it's still a great bet to make on Cleveland to win the AFC North. Let's go to number four on the consensus. This is one where I just set it up to you, Jeff, because you
ahead,
you as the resident East Coaster, longtime suffering Jets fan. Well, the consensus is going against you here. Patriots minus six at the New York Jets, number four on the consensus. What are your thoughts, Jeff?
So this was 5.5 behind us in the contest. So that's a big difference, 5.5 to 6. Look, a fade for me just be at six, which is what it is in the Westgate Super Contest behind us at circa 5.5. It's a nothing for me. If we're just looking at this game as a betting perspective, Ben, how are we getting to 43? How are we getting there? This total's been bet up, too. I don't quite understand that. The Patriots' offense, I know Mac Jones was graded out as the best of the rookie quarterbacks. I thought he was fine. I didn't think he did anything spectacular. I don't think he did anything bad. I think he was perfectly solid, which was bad, definitely better than what Trevor Lawrence did, and statistically it was much better than what Zach Wilson did. Zach Wilson played a lot better than the numbers indicate last week. He was running for his life.
Every play, he was running for his life the whole game
last week. The Jets couldn't block. And the scary thing for the Jets is the Jets' deep offensive line looked better after Mekhi Becton got hurt, which is not a good sign going down the road. Look, I think it's six. I think the Jets are a reasonable play. But the total here, the total's too high. I don't see how we're getting to 43 here. So for me, the under's the best play. I would fade the consensus at six, not at 5.5. It's a stay off. So that's the way I would look at it here. And look, the thing is, we know Belichick owns rookie quarterbacks. New England, are we really going to see New England start 0-2? That's
and
the other thing, too.
Already a terrible O-line. Loses Mekhi Becton. Not going to get any easier for Zach. I see a lot more of the same. Could they come back in backdoor? Absolutely. But
it's pretty similar to what it ended up being last week.
And I threw New England in a money line parlay with Green Bay, who we'll get to later. That's minus 150, by the way, if you want to play.
See, that's a lot different, though. Like, if you're just asking New England to win the game, yes. I would be surprised if the Jets do win this game. But look, in the end here, the total is what I would be picking on. This total's too high.
We'll quickly do the last of the consensus. Mm-hmm. Cardinals-Vikings, where the Arizona Cardinals laying 3.5 in this spot. And this was, of all the numbers, Jeff, this was the weird one where a lot of people expected this to be Cardinals in the 6, 6.5 range. But the books almost, they seem to jump in front of the potential overreaction saying, all right, we know what's going to happen. We're not going to set this high and have all the money come in on Minnesota. So this has basically stayed the whole way, but a lot of respected two-way opinions on this, Jeff, with how bad Minnesota looked in that overtime loss in Cincinnati and an absolute whitewashing. You and I were both on Arizona last week.
Beat down.
Are you going back to the well on Arizona?
This is a weird one because this... You're right. It didn't get the overreaction boost that we would have expected, where we could have very easily seen it go to six on an overreaction, and it's 3.5, 4. Minnesota probably should have won last week.
Had the ball in the Bengals' territory.
Had the ball in
Bengals'
territory, and I'm not certain Cook actually fumbled. I still think he may have been down. But I don't know. Like, I have no feel for this game. This is one I crossed off immediately because the line, I expected it to be closer to six. It ended up 3.5, 4, 4.5 bet down. It's a tough one. And I'm not surprised Arizona is a consensus play. And it wouldn't shock me if Minnesota wins this game outright either. So it's just one of those that's completely unplayable for me.
I tend to agree. I would play Arizona. And I said this last week, Jeff, as long as Kyler Murray is healthy, and he's clearly healthy right now.
Yeah.
This Arizona team is, to me, a top 10 team in the league and should be favored, I think, by at least four in a spot like this. The thing, too, with the sloppiness, 12 penalties, was 117 penalty yards for Minnesota. Those are the kind of things that usually don't just immediately flip the other way in week two. That O-line was so bad, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's not, to me, an overreaction. It's just, is it even physically possible to change your O-line play that drastically in the span of 6 days? I just don't see it.
Or is it going to regress to the mean in the positively? And how could it be as bad as it was in the first week?
A good point to make as well. That, for those reasons,
anyway,
we still have a number of games to preview in hour number two. We'll start off Bills-Dolphins. Interesting divisional matchup on the other side as we continue right here on VSiN Bet Center.